to be honest, that was the first competition we entered into, and
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future, I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's bank accounts, paint your dreams.
Welcome to today's episode. Today I'm joined by Makombo Rero. How are you doing, Makombo Rero?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a long day. It seems like you're a very busy man. You were really busy today, I see, because it did take us a while to get up and running, but we're up and running. That's all that matters.
No, man, it's a constant grind. But what can we do? We're young, young and energetic. Let's do it. Let's do it whilst we still got the energy.
So, Makombo, can you just give us a brief background about yourself, what you're currently doing, and just who is Makombo in general?
All right. I'm Makombo Peshapa. How would I describe myself? Well, I would say maybe what would suit for this podcast or just, is I guess I'm a Zimbabwean for starters, from a small town, Marondera. And I always like to refer to myself as a guy with a lot of small town value and the like. It sort of feels like to me, guys that are raised in small towns appreciate relationships more and the like, whereas, you know, wherever we go to the bigger cities, you know, it's a fast life, and sometimes you can't keep up, and sometimes, you know, it might feel like, you know, the relationships are here and go, take what you need and you go. So anyways, small town, grew up in Marondera. I attended my whole school and career at Peterhouse, from Peterhouse Nursery School, Springdale, went to Peterhouse Boys. I was privileged enough to finish off my Peterhouse career as the deputy head boy there. So that's something I really cherish and I'm proud of. And I always remember my days that Peterhouse really raised me. And it has a special place in my heart. Then after that, I did a bit of some work in Zimbabwe before I left. I came to Poland. So yeah, I mean, back in Zimbabwe, I started a little couldn't call it a youth and young adults group called Regeneration, which actually grew quite a bit. And, you know, it was quite interesting how it, grew, and, you know, we ended up, you know, getting invited to several schools, you know, Watershed, Peterhouse itself, Hillcrest, you know, quite a lot of places to actually go. And, you know, I was also privileged enough to work for Zambezi Holidays, youth camp for Christian, young Christians. And then after a bit of some time there in Zimbabwe, I decided to even come to Poland to study. And also before I left, I also started a clothing brand called African Patriot, which was, you know, just born out of a passion to, you know, to express African culture and the way that we dress. I think that was like probably the first, proper business I tried to start and, you know, structure it properly and the like. That was AfroSeek. Actually started it with a bit of some money that I had gotten when I'd gone to Zambia to do a small internship there for a couple of months, actually at a mine. So I saved up a few of those of my earnings there, and that's the story. That's how we began African Patriot clothing. Yeah, and then fast forward, I came here to Poland, had some, you know, a good time this side, made a few other friends as well. And that's where as well, then we started another company we called Diva Entertainment. And we were just, you know, we were just in university. You know, a lot of people like to, you know, go to events and the like. And we're like, hey, we also love going to events with a couple of friends of mine. Why not actually, you know, start organizing these events or make a business out of it? That's how, you know, Divock Entertainment was born. So, yeah, that was another business that we started there. And then I actually came back to Zimbabwe for a bit during COVID. And during COVID, what happened there is I actually got an opportunity to work in commercial sales for Tire Zim. And that was a brilliant opportunity that I got. And I'm forever grateful for that, actually, because yeah, that's an opportunity that allowed me to really learn a lot about business, negotiating and the like. And also always grateful to one of my friends who actually was my boss at my time there. His name is Jason Shaw. So he was my boss in my time at Tizem. And yeah, he really helped me out quite a lot, you know, learning how to negotiate, how to come to the table with people much older than you and bring together a deal, how to, you know, that, you know, sales and the like and business is more than just, it's more than what we assume or see on TV. You know, there's a lot more about business that's, you know, about, you know, like, it's more people oriented. You know, you got to be able to read the room, read the space, understand what, you know, people and like. So I'm always grateful for that opportunity. But yeah, after a while, that's when I decided to come back to Poland. And yeah, I think that was 1.5 years ago or something. I came back to Poland to finish off my studies here. And that's when I got into the tech industry as well. And that's been interesting for me. It's been about a year and I'm deep into it now. Really love the tech industry. And yeah, I was in one accelerator, which has a venture capital as well. Worked on a startup there called Clast. It was an education platform, basically. Yeah, we ran that, and then I consider it a failure, but I don't like to say that. But yeah, we gave up on it and stopped. And then, because there was a lot happening there. But it was a really good experience being part of an accelerator and learning the startup, you know, the startup way. That's what really educated me as well in the tech industry, you know, meeting every week, or I can say, you know, every couple of days with, you know, the top founders of companies here in Europe, getting advice from those guys and really building a startup from all of that advice and all of, you know, those learnings has been really helpful for me. And yeah, after that, that's when we decided to start AfroSeek Travel App, which is our most recent or my most recent project that we're running, an application for traveling in Africa. We're hoping that, you know, we're going to change the game for travel in Africa. I say that now, let's hear, I'm going to listen to this maybe a year after and see if we're on the same trajectory. But yeah, so that's myself. And then also, yeah, finishing off my studies, and I'm also working at NatWest Bank. But yeah, anytime, I'm hoping that AfroSeek will really boom out and we can, you know, focus a lot of our time on it. And also we've got our other ventures still up and kicking, D-Block Entertainment, a few events that are booming and promising that we've been planning. We've got our YouTube channel as well up. We've got African Patriot as well booming. We just need to do a bit more work on that. So yeah, I guess that's why sometimes you might feel I'm a bit busy. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to keep all these loose ends, tight and trying to make sure that, you know, we've got everything going. So it's always, you know, after, you know, proper work meetings, after meetings. And at the moment, I'm a bit lucky that, you know, it's summer break, so I don't have any studies to worry about. And so, yeah, I'm trying to go full on and see what we can do.
That is a lot that is happening for just such a young man like yourself, who's really dealing with three companies which are doing a lot of things and completely different things in different industries. As you mentioned, you've got clothing brand, you've got tech, you got your partying, your entertainment one, then you also got your job you're also doing on the side. That is takes a lot of dedication and focus, and that is something I would want to applaud you for. That is truly amazing that you're able to juggle all of these things. And on the same topic of just juggling things, how do you approach your work-life balance, like with all these things that are going around you? I think a lot of people would actually want to understand that, especially also someone who's still in school. How do you then do all of these things which are happening around you and make sure that each of them at least get enough attention for them to grow?
To be honest, for starters, I would advise that I think it's actually better to really find one or two things that you really want to focus on, because you can't do everything excellently. Something's always going to be neglected. You can be a jack of all trades, but a master of none. So it's a bit of a jab on myself to say that I think I am balancing. I try. And I always talk with my friends and say maybe it's something we're taught or the benefit of, high school in Zimbabwe is, you know, you are forced to have to sign up for sports. You're forced to have to do at least one cultural activity. At the same time, you've got your academics going on. And so that was my life always at school. You know, I was trying with my academics there. I had, I was in choir, doing theater, doing all of that. And at the same time, I was playing sport. And not like just even one sport. I was playing squash, I was playing cricket, I was playing hockey, soccer, you know, the whole lot, cross country. So, I always had to try to balance out things, you know. And I think it's something that, you know, I've had moving on, like even just in life now. I remember one of my tutors at high school telling me that, you've got a lot going on, but don't stop anything, because give a busy man a job and they'll get it done. And I think maybe it's something I've come to realize now, that when it seems like I have a lot of things to do, I'm very productive. But when I have one or two things to do, I'll just tend to lie around and relax, and, you know. So yeah, I would say the way that I that was just me explaining maybe that, you know, that's been something ingrained in me. But the way that I do it now is just, yeah, I love to write down. I just have a book, notebook, and yeah, every evening or at the start of the week, to be fair, to be honest, at the start of the week, I'm going to think, okay, what tasks do I need to do this whole week? That's usually how I do it. And then write down on every, you know, like I'll be like, Afroseek, this needs to be done. These things need to be done. Work-wise, this needs to be done. If there's school going on, this and this, I need to do this. Don't forget this, don't forget that. And then, for everything. So I just put down all my tasks and then, yeah, try to wake up early Monday morning, start getting, you know, your stuff ticked. and crossed out and crossed out and crossed out. If you need to add something, just add something. But for me, that seems like it's a way that really works for me, actually seeing it, what you need to do, and then working on those things. And also, maybe I would also just encourage people, really prioritize as well your things, because sometimes you have a lot of things to do, but there's always other things that are more important than others, or that are a higher priority than others to be done. So it's also very important to prioritize the things that you need to do. So that's usually how I do it, and then prioritize the things and try to do the tasks that are of high priority first, or get them out the way. And also breaking down your stuff. If you have a huge task, I never like to do to just say I need to do this huge task. Whenever something seems daunting, I think, how can I break it down? What small things? Or there might be three or four tasks in this huge thing. So yeah, that's a little bit of how I like to tackle it. You know, if it's an S, maybe, you know, you need to actually break down into three parts. There's the planning. So I'm going to do my planning today. And then I'm going to do this tomorrow and this, or, you know, this for 30 minutes. That, you know, so I like to break down huge tasks. Obviously, the essay was just an example, but yeah.
That is truly amazing. I think the key takeaways we can have there is planning, prioritization. Because I think a lot of people just feel that. That's why they feel everything just from those two things. Some people might come up with a good plan, but they put the wrong priorities, and then everything just goes haywire from there. And I see that a bit of the tech side of you is taking over, using computational thinking, or the usual of breaking down tasks into smaller tasks. I think that's like programming 101. They're like, oh, you get a problem, break it into the smallest problems, then you solve from there. That is truly amazing that you have applied it to your life. And I think and more people should just go through at least one problem solving in algorithms class, just to get that knowledge in them, that when you get a big problem, always break it down into its sub problems and you start with those problems first. And most of the times, any task that will look like it's hard, when you do that, it will look simpler to do. So we are men of many hats, and most of your hats is founder. But today I would like to focus on AfroSeek, and I would also like to congratulate you guys on your accomplishment of Entrepreneur of the Year in 2023 on the Akaye. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Can you just tell us how was that journey? Akaye. Can you just tell us how was that journey, you know, entering AfroSeek in there? How was the competition? You know, those things are very hard, and a lot of people always want to go through them, but they always fear the process. How was it for you guys as a team, mentally, emotionally, you know, just getting everything done?
Yeah, man, to be honest, that was the first competition we entered into. And before, I was a bit, you know, just hesitant. Oh, no, you know, let's focus on what we're trying to achieve and the like. But, you know, some of the guy, one of my friends that, you know, works with the guy was like, hey, why didn't you guys apply for this? I was like, okay, cool. Let's go for it. So, you know, I applied, and then, yeah. So okay, it's quite serious. You know, you got to record your stuff, you got to get ready, you got to, you know, fix up your pitch and the like. So yeah, that's when we did that, and, you know, quite nervous and the like, you know, seeing, you know, the number of startups that had applied, and, you know, when you see them, the, you know, all the startups that have, you know, made it to the next round and the like, you know, going through all the several, you know, startups. I think that's where our team, you know, I'll give a big shout out to the team. We really all looked through, you know, all the different startups, and, you know, try to see, okay, you know, these are the strong points, these are the weak points. And, you know, everyone really came together there. And, you know, how can we try to come out on top here? And, you know, Even testament of that, we managed to come up with, our pitch, and even looked, all together at the requirements that were needed for the pitch, because all, pitches or competitions are different, they have different things that they're grading and marking. So I think that's one thing that's important whenever you enter any competition, just need to know what are they actually looking for. We managed to try to match up what we had, against what was actually required. And made it to the next round. I think in the finals we're a bit scared, because there were a few big companies that have received, hundreds of thousands of funding, like I think Tuvel app, and like, so we, and yeah, they're an app, they're a startup that's a bit like Uber. They're basically, so they do the taxi service and the like, but I think they're also wanting to bring in, tech and, phone or app management to like booking public transport in Zimbabwe. So yeah, I mean, that was one of the big giants we were facing, but yeah. Just held our cool, went through it, and managed to come out successful. And that was really, a good feeling for all of us, and actually asserted us as a team to be like, hey, we're actually on something that's interesting and that people have actually appreciated. So, I guess that was the good part of entering these competitions, is that, it's also some sort of traction to be like, hey, we're not just wasting our time on something. We're actually doing something that other people, think is valuable compared to a lot of other, people in the industry that are also doing really well.
Once again, congratulations on your success. I think, like you said, it was very good for the morale of the team. When you win something like that, it also, like you said, validates your idea. Like, guys, we're actually not just wasting our time here just doing this. But as you can see, a lot of people are interested, and also going up against bigger companies and showing you what you guys are about, and also winning, also, like I said, brings up the morale, and also, just gives you like, yes, guys, we're in the right direction. Then, so we can talk more about AfroSeek. I see you guys, its main focus is to revolutionize the whole entire tourism aspect of Africa, like how you book your tourist destination. So can you just tell us more about AfroSeek? What was, what was the brainchild? Like, when did the idea come to you? Then you're like, okay, this is something cool. How did you pick your team to work with you to get through this process, and where you guys are currently at the moment, and what can we expect next as you guys progress?
Jeez. There are a lot of bits and pieces there, but I'll come in it. So AfroSeek, basically, like I was saying, after the opportunity we had with the accelerator Demium, when that stopped, it took 1 or 2 months, and then, for me personally, I was just still, looking, okay, what can we do? Should we continue with this idea? We can, or, is there something else that we can do? So I was really searching, writing down a lot of different ideas, to be honest, and talking with a lot of people about different ideas. And yeah, this one, for me, more and more I thought about it, talked to people, wrote down, and then actually did a bit of some customer interviews before deciding to really pursue this. And I still have that, like, that full document, just asking a lot of people that travel in Africa, how do you do your bookings, are there any problems that you face, and all of these questions, and really, trying to figure out, is there actually a problem with booking in Africa? And is there, you know, a solution that we can actually bring that would make sense? I think that was one of the big things I learned in this incubator and accelerator. So yeah, that's how that was born. And not too long ago, like December, January, February, we were off. You know, I was jumping in there, doing some sketches, still have the book, doing some sketches, you know, and, you know, trying to come up with a basic, you know, site map and the like, you know, after obviously figuring out that it seems there is a huge problem here in booking and, you know, for the government itself or for the country rather itself, Zimbabwe, there's also a huge problem that there's a lot of money lost in tourism because of, you know, a lot of other problems, and the same for Africa. So, yeah, that's when we did that. And then, yeah, for me, then the job came of trying to convince people that, guys, we've got something here. Do you guys think it's something worth that you'd want to spend your time? And yeah, it was just a few friends that I knew that are really experts in tourism or really love it, or guys that, you know, we've done business with before. And yeah, a few of the friends came on board, managed to build a balanced team, you know, software engineer on board, you know, two people with master's degrees in tourism, a guy that's actually got, you know, a financing degree as well, and like, so, you know, it kind of felt like, okay, or it still feels like we've got our bases covered, and we can really push ahead to do this. And so, yeah, and then it's always, you know, always about the team now. You know, we have our meetings weekly, discuss a lot, and it's fruitful that we really have so many different opinions, but coming from people that are, you know, really good in their industries, and we can come up with the best solutions for all the different things we're trying to do. So yeah, that's really how we came together with the team. And now, you know, we're at a stage where, yeah, we're just trying to develop, trying to grow. And, you know, you say revolutionize the, you know, tourism industry. Quite a number of things we actually wanted to revolutionize that industry. You know, like, for example, recently, one of the big things for us, which is even taking us back, or me back as well, to the reason, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, we started this is, even, for example, you know, I mean, booking in general, yes, but there are a lot of other things we want to change. Like, for example, you know, your experiences that you have, you can think, you know, for yourself, I'm seeing that, okay, here in Europe, there's a lot of city tourism, right? People, you know, the most visited place is Paris, right? Tourism-wise, because of the Eiffel Tower. We're asking ourselves, why is that, you know, when we have Victoria Falls, a much bigger spectacle, you know, one of the seven wonders, and it's something just about marketing, right? And accessibility and all of that. But when we think further now, we're saying, okay, even the fact that there's a lot of city tourism, people visit Paris so much, why is there not a lot of city tourism for Harare, for whatever? You know, we have a lot of destination tourism. So people go to Victoria Falls, people go to Kariba, but even locals don't really think, oh, there's much to do in Harare. So that's even part of the big scheme of what we're trying to change, that, hey, no, with our app, we're wanting to bring the opportunity for people to try out, you know, unique experiences. Like, why can't we have you know, a wine farm tour, or just any farm tour, a blueberry farm tour in Marondera. You know, there are a lot of farms where I grew up in Marondera, and that's, you know, that's something unique. Why can't we have on Sundays, for example, you know, it's also opening up doors for families to make income, or other people that wouldn't have before, you know, maybe on weekends, you know, my parents, or, you know, and the older generation, for example, people that just love food, they can offer, you know, on our app, a, you know, food tasting experience, you know, for 2 hours, you know, local food tasting, you know, so there are a lot of different things, you know, that a lot of different experiences that, you know, we can really bring and increase the number of things that you can do when you're visiting Harare, increase the number of things you can do when you're visiting Marondera, when you're visiting even Toria Falls, you know. It's not just you can just do the bungee swing and that. There's a bigger gap of other experience that we can actually bring to the market. That's one of the things we're trying to drive home, you know, with AfroSeek, amongst many other things as well.
The idea is there, the roadmap is there, people are there. And I think what you guys are doing is truly amazing, especially on the cities. I think like that is something that is truly amazing. Like you say, the most visited place is Paris. It's a city. It's not any national wonder. It's not anything. That's the only thing. There's the Eiffel Tower, which is amazing, but it's not something that most people are like, oh, I am going to be amazed out of my mind. It's just another man-made thing. So you guys doing this does really push a lot of information. Like you said, it also gives people chances to make money on, maybe people can come and do a tour of a farm. People can do food tasting, you know. That's truly amazing what you guys are really doing there, and I really applaud you guys, and I wish you all the best as you continue on your journey of building AfroSeek, which I see that it is going to change the way people do tourism in Africa. It's going to totally change everything, and it's also going to help a lot of people in Africa get, you know, jobs, because more people coming, more people need to be managed, and that is truly amazing. You guys, I can see you guys are already thinking in the long term, the things that you really have in mind that you are going to do, and that is truly amazing. So, Marco, can you just tell us something? Is you're maybe, I would say, a veteran at this point in terms of entrepreneurship. You know, most people want to be entrepreneurs, and I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in Africa and in Zimbabwe. It's like they're always talking about funding. You know, I need to get on this, an accelerator X, or this program X. Then if I win, I get the money, then I'll start doing something. What are your thoughts on that? And what advice can you give to those type of people who are being entrepreneurs?
What I can say is, when you want funding for something, just ask yourself first, if you had that money, would you, you know, invest in it? So the first thing is to try and get yourself fully, fully convinced, I think. And then once you are fully convinced that, you know, this is, I'm trying to answer in the best capacity that I can answer. But once you're fully convinced that, you know, what I'm seeking funding for here is something I would invest in my money, that also means you're able to invest your time. And so simply then what I'm saying with that is bootstrap until you get that whatever funding that you need. But you can always do, you know, I'm always saying, I think when we talk a lot with our team, I'm always saying, you know, like, okay, this and this requires this amount of money. How can we do it, you know, with the lowest budget? Or sometimes you even find you can do it without. So what can you do with what you have right now? And I think, yeah, one of the things I like to go by with that is like the lean startup. You know, you don't have to start huge, you know. Start with what you have, make it lean. Really look at what problem you're trying to solve, come up with something, and then gain the traction that you need. Sometimes you can even start monetizing just by bootstrapping, you know, using your own funding, or not even using a lot of money. But also the simple fact is that it's much easier to attract funding and to get funding. And most, in fact, yeah, most companies that I know, if you look, even if you look at the big ones like Facebook, all these companies, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, what he managed to get funding once there was a proof of concept. So the first thing is, let's have a proof of concept. And sometimes when you actually have a proof of concept and it's working, you'll have, you know, you'll have investors coming to you. You know, in our case as well, for AfroSeek, we haven't managed to, you know, secure a deal, but we've had quite a number of investors. Or I can say, okay, we have one deal that, you know, we're working through at the moment, but basically we've had a few different investors, you know, come to us and be like, I've got some money, I'm interested in investing in this. And now it's trying to sit down on the table and say, how can we do this best? But basically it's me trying to say that do what you can and try to, you know, build something with value, because people want to invest in something that has value and a proof of concept. You'll see that the more that you invest your time in, because you've answered the question that, hey, this is something I'm willing to invest my time in, so, or it's something I'm willing to invest my money in, so I can also invest my time. That already shows that, okay, there's something here and you're willing to invest in it. You're not just saying, I just need money, otherwise I'm not going to do it. So once you're doing it and you're building something that has value, it won't take time for people, you know, once you've built a proof of concept and it's something that, you know, people will generally, you'll get some people coming, you know, but I would then suggest, for me, the tactic I want to take is, once you've managed as well to even prove, you know, your proof of concept, once you've made it, you know, something substantial, maybe if you're in the social media aspect, you set your goals that this is when we're going to start aggressively seeking funding. You know, more times than not, I like to set goals, monetary goals, that, you know, once we're able to generate this amount of revenue, it's, you know, then I would like us to then go seeking, us actually going out seeking for funding, because you also want to make sure that you have a, you know, you have a bargaining. You're not just going to seek for funding and then someone says, you don't really have anything here. So if I'm going to put in 50 bucks or 100 bucks or, you know, whatever it is, okay, I'm going to put in 50,000 and I want 100% or 80%. You know, so you also want to build something that you can have bargaining power with. Sorry, I think I've ruffled a few feathers there or gone, you know, in different bits and pieces. But in general, that's, those are my different thoughts on that. Yeah, trying to secure funding.
Thank you. That is truly amazing and very wise, because I think a lot of people can totally agree with you. Like, you see a lot of people with ideas and it's more like about, this idea can only become a reality if there's funding, there's this amount of funding, but it's just an idea. There's no, like you say, proof of concept. There's nothing which has actually been done. The person is all theoretical. And they're just ready going to business people looking for money and saying, would you find my project? And I think that is something that we need to take to account, to very high account, that, yeah, no, are you willing to invest the time, first of all? I think that's the main key resource, time, like you mentioned. Like, if you're able to, if you're willing to invest time in it, then of course it's gonna, money is also gonna be easier one to invest in. And I think from another thing you talked about was also having something to leverage when you finally go for that hunting for money. Because I think I always take wisdom from a lot of places, and I was watching this other podcast called Millions Worth of Games, when they were having a repertoire on Savage. I was saying that most artists make bad contracts is because they blow off one song and they rush to get a record label to sign them, and they're afraid that they'll never blow up again. So they always sign up into these poor conditions where they end up not owning most of their music and stuff like that. So from what you're saying, it's like, don't rush to go there, because when you go there with not a lot of leverage, you're bound to get the shorter side of the stick. Even though that idea of yours does become something a success, you might end up seeing that at the end of the day, you might not even have the rights to your own idea at the end of the day, because you were running to get money and you're giving away people maybe too many shares. Now the company goes public and you see that you don't even run your own company anymore. And that is very... Thank you for that. I think you summarized it better. I think you got your point out and clear, and that was truly amazing. So, Makomborero, I think the last question is, where can people find you, your social medias, and where people can come and connect with you and maybe share ideas or bounce ideas?
Man, I'm open. Reach out. Maybe I can say, yeah, like LinkedIn, Makomborero Pashaba. But Instagram more. unfortunately, that doesn't seem professional, is it? But yeah, I will most probably read a DM much quicker. And yeah, I think those are my most, the two socials that are easiest to just reach. My Instagram is Marco_Pash. And yeah, always open to chat, always open to hear ideas. Yeah.
Thank you, Marco, for your time today, for being on the podcast with us and sharing your insights and more about Afroseek, more about being an entrepreneur, work-life balance, your journey, because I think a lot of people might see what you're currently doing and are inspired, and now they got a bit of an insight about who you are as a person. And as you said, you're someone who's very open, so they can now follow up with maybe more questions on all your life or what you're currently doing, or to get a better insight about you now. Thank you for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you for the invite, man. And yeah, looking forward to it. Cheers, eh?
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Africa's Blank Canvas Podcast, so you're always up to date with the latest news. Don't forget to share. That's the only way we grow.